CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, Season 9, Episode 397. Matt, it's time to talk about the NFL. We should open with the NFL.
Yeah, it's about time someone talks about the NFL, you know?
Nobody does. And you know what people love? You know what people love? Whiny New England Patriots fans.
It's the best.
They love it when we complain. But before we get to the Patriots, this was a old tweet bag. This is basically the Sweeney show, by the way.
Sweeney!
He's like most of the questions we've got tonight.
Rare form.
At Justin D. Sweeney, he said, how insane is Jameis Winston's 30 for 30? And we're not talking about the ESPN special that'll talk about crab legs. 30 TDs, 30 interceptions with 7 pick sixes. Hashtag tweetback.
I'll tell you, the ESPN hasn't made a 30 for 30 about this yet, but they will.
They will. Let me say this.
Jameis Winston thinks he's playing at an elite level. The press conference I saw, they asked him about it, and he was like, hey, if you look at my numbers other than the interceptions, I'm balling out right now.
The guy's responsible
for 40 turnovers. If I take care of those interceptions, I'm one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Okay. And if I were a foot taller, I might have played college basketball.
You know what? My mom said I was special too. Guess what, buddy? We're all special. I can throw 7 pick sixes. What are they paying the man?
A lot. I'm not trying to get political here at all.
I love any statement that leads with that. That's great. Okay.
I see quarterback play like his and some others throughout the league, and two things come to my mind. Where are Taysom Hill and Colin Kaepernick? You can't tell me that Hill and Kaepernick aren't better than at least 10 of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL today. At least 10.
Right.
Hill just threw a 50-yard pass. And look what Baltimore's doing with Lamar Jackson. And Jackson's got a better deep ball than Hill, and it's more accurate. I don't know that he's a more devastating runner or not. He's faster, but I don't think he's as strong, right? So runners, they might be equal. Jackson's a better passer, right? So I'm not trying to say he's Lamar Jackson, but Lamar Jackson might win the MVP. I'm just talking about Hill should get a shot at starting. Because if you're the pick team with terrible quarterback, what do you got to lose?
Right. Well, and the cool thing about Taysom is that he's a free agent now.
He's a free agent.
But right? It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out.
Kaepernick. Are you telling me Jameis Winston is better than Kaepernick today? I don't believe it. I don't believe that's true.
Dude, McNown just started a playoff game.
No,
he didn't start. He came in for an injured Wentz.
He played.
You're telling me that Kaepernick can't even back somebody up on one of NFL's 32 teams? He's not good enough to back somebody up?
And don't tell me it's, because he'll be a distraction, right? The Patriots signed Antonio Brown, right? People sign distractions all the time, right? Like, there's so many mediocre to bad quarterbacks, and to think one of the things, and of course people will hate this as it's coming from a Patriots fan, but to think people are talking about Eli Manning, he's just a cinch Hall of Fame case. And I'm sitting here going, listen, he quarterbacked 2 Super Bowl winning teams, which is awesome, right? But he'd be in that Joe Namath class of people that played in New York and were never as good as anybody thought they were, right? And make their living off of about 10 good games in their career, right?
And someone else's freak catch.
And somebody else's freak catch and a great defense and all that stuff, right? But Manning was an average quarterback, and I don't think average belongs in the Hall of Fame, right? But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's where we're at, is there's so few great quarterbacks. And right now we got Mahomes, you got Lamar Jackson, you got, I don't know, who else is playing at an elite level? I'd have to look up the stats here. But it's not very many. Like,
no, it's very few.
Rodgers didn't play at an elite level this year. Brady didn't play at an elite level.
Neither did Brady.
This
year. I mean, at the end of the day, there's like 15 people on the planet that can be very good at that, right?
But shouldn't it be more?
But isn't that crazy, though? But that's all it is. And if you look, like, over the past several years, that's been true.
Yeah, it's true.
It's apparently very difficult to do.
That's why
if you're Tua, that's why you go pro now. That's why if you're the Dolphins or whoever, like, that's why you take him with a top five pick, even with the injury.
Of course.
Because a very good quarterback is so rare.
You take him with the number one pick.
You have to roll the dice. You roll the dice on a Taysom Hill. You figure out how to deal with the noise around Colin Kaepernick. And I don't know. I'm not saying Colin Kaepernick is Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes.
Well, he was for a couple of years, though. I mean, he fell off before. I mean, before the Niners let him go, his play was headed south, right? But he had a couple of really good seasons. And that's the thing with Jackson.
I think that if he started on a team right now, would he be in the top 25, top 20 quarterbacks in the league?
Yeah, I think so. Top 25 or top 20. I think he'd be an upgrade for 10 teams, probably. 8 or 10 teams, right? I mean, you can't tell me. And like you said, forget about that for a second. Wouldn't the Patriots or the Eagles or somebody be better off having him as a backup than who they have? Right? Because look what happened with Wentz.
Who is backing up Brady right now? Who's backing up Brady?
Doesn't matter. So that leads to our next question.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Which comes from Darwin Lyons via email. And if you want to email us, it's riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Darwin says, how seriously do you take the question of Tom Brady's future with the Pats on a scale of no doubt that he will return to that's just a dumb question? I'm not sure I understand the scale, Darwin.
I love the scale, Darwin. I love it.
Yeah, I knew you'd love the scale. let me put it this way. I think I'm gonna play Troy Aikman here for a second. Are you ready? There's a pretty good chance that Tom Brady either stays with the Patriots or he goes to play for somebody else. I just think it's down to those two. By the way, listening to Troy Aikman this weekend, I was just like, and then you hear a game by Tony Romo and you're like, I feel like one of these guys should retire and their name is not Tony Romo. Right.
Tony Romo, by the way, that guy is gold.
He is gold, but he'll become boring too. They all become boring over time. Almost everybody, because you run out of interesting things to say, I think. But anyway, not to be too Eggman here, but I think if Brady walks, which I think is actually a likely case, I think if he walks, that just means Belichick doesn't think it matters if he can put some pieces around Brady. I think if the Patriots want to keep him, they'll spend the money to keep him.
I don't think they'll spend the money. I believe that there is a gap between what Tom Brady is willing to take and what the Patriots are willing to pay, and that is what's going to lead to Brady going somewhere else and playing a year or two for another team.
There are very few teams, if you're Brady, that it makes sense to go to.
So I, off the top of my head, I would say these three.
Okay.
The Chargers.
Yep.
The Titans.
Yep.
Raiders.
Yeah. You want to go to a playoff quality team.
The Raiders is a weird one. But go to the Titans, dude. Go play for the Titans. The Titans will probably lose their next playoff game, right? But you put Tom Brady in there, right? You put Tom Brady in there with Derrick Henry and with that defense.
Do you, though?
And he's back with Vrabel. Like an old teammate?
Here's the thing, man. Do you remember the end of all these great quarterbacks' careers?
It's awkward. It's always awkward. It's Montana and Kansas City.
I love Tom Brady. He's one of the best ever. Anybody that calls him overrated is just dumb, right? It's the same thing. Like I think Jeter is technically overrated, like Derek Jeter, right? You know, but with like air quotes. Like Derek Jeter's just overrated on some of the things he did. He's a freaking Hall of Fame shortstop and one of the best ever, right? So the conversation is kind of stupid. I feel the same way with Brady. Anybody that says he's overrated is just stupid. Maybe he's not as good as his fame was. He's still one of the best, if not the best quarterback ever. So it's kind of stupid, right? I hate to see the guys go out like this, but it is the only way most of these guys end up leaving the league is when they suck for a year, right? Favre, Bradshaw, you mentioned Montana. It's either that or injury, right? It's one or the other. Is there a single really great quarterback who ever just walked? I can't even think of one. Did Jim Kelly just walk? I don't know if he's a great, but he was pretty good.
He didn't leave. He didn't go somewhere else out of Buffalo.
I think.
Did he get sick, or did he get sick after he retired?
I think he got sick after he retired. There's probably a few I'm just not thinking of. Maybe Jim Kelly's a good example. Elway wasn't hurt, but that last Super Bowl, he wasn't the one reason they won that Super Bowl. I mean, he was a shadow of his former self, similar to what maybe Rodgers and Brady are now. Right? Still good, but not what they had been. So today, if you were predicting, Brady comes or goes?
Brady's gone.
I'm going to say...
I feel like that is the likely scenario, is that Brady has played his last game in a Patriots uniform.
How about this? You ready for this? They re-sign Brady. Gronk comes out of retirement after taking a year off. And they trade for Odell Beckham.
Oh, there you go. You got Super the Bowl. Deep threat. Super that's Bowl. The thing that's what's killing them right now. If that happens, yeah, they go to the Super Bowl, but that's not going to happen.
You know what's killing them? A mediocre offensive line and the lack of a deep threat and a good tight end. Right? There's problem with their offense is
there's nowhere for him to put the football.
Well, I mean, can Edelman beat? He's really good, but can he beat triple teams? I mean, the Titans
when he's the only guy out there, it's not hard to defend. That's the problem.
The Titans were basically saying, beat us with anybody else, and the answer was they couldn't. Right? It's a very Belichickian way to beat Belichick. You know, we are going to absolutely take away your best player. Right? And hats off to the Titans. I thought they played a very good game. And I predicted this, by the way. I told everyone at work, they're not going to beat the Titans. And if they do, they're going to squeak by and then get a crap kicked out of them the next week. So, all right, let's head to the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
So here you go. Also not BYU related. Here we go. It's January. Justin Sweeney says, you are stuck on a desert island. You can watch only movies from one actor or actress. I think you can call them all actors nowadays. Is that true?
There's not like a, yeah, okay, sure. I think you're supposed to actually call them all actors now.
Yeah. It's
because I don't know that there's anything inherently. Yeah, I think we're okay with the word actor.
Yeah, and shouldn't you just give out like the best actor award to like the best performance, regardless of gender at this point?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
Who did the best? Yeah, who was the best one?
Who's the best actor on the planet today? Who do you? Okay, never mind. We're getting off topic.
Because my answer to that question is different than the answer to the question that Sweeney asked.
Okay, so let's stick with Sweeney's question. Who do you pick if you can only watch movies from one actor? I think he says he thinks he picks Tom Hanks. Quantity, quality, diverse genres. Not necessarily his favorite actor, but great collection of movies. Andre Hutchins, of course, he tagged Andre. And Andre, of course, jumped in because... he couldn't stop himself.
All over it.
Can't great help question, himself. Andre says. Castaway will be a great tutorial in island survival. It's true. Based on actor alone, he'd have chosen Christian Bale, with Russell Crowe as a close second. Bale, he mentions Newsies, Equilibrium, The Dark Knight, The Prestige, 310 to Yuma, Terminator. I wouldn't watch that one, his Terminator movie. But I love Christian Bale.
I actually kind of tried to forget he made a Terminator movie.
Hostiles, which is a great movie. Have you ever seen Hostiles?
Nope.
It's him as a old veteran during the Old West time, and the Old West is almost done, and he's transporting a Native American prisoner, who's played by that guy that plays a lot of Native Americans in lots of movies, Last of the Mohicans and others. Fantastic movie. Ford versus Ferrari, which I haven't seen yet, but looks really good. So, Matt, who do you got? Picking one actor.
So, there's only one series of movies that I want to watch over and over again. Actually, there's two.
So you're picking... Can I predict who you're picking? Can I guess?
Yes.
Matt Damon.
Yes, I am taking Matt Damon.
The Bourne trilogy.
I got the Bourne trilogy. All right. What else? But I've also got a bunch of other good movies that I think I can enjoy.
Yeah, you've got Good Will Hunting. You've
Good
got
Hunting, good movie. The Bourne series.
You've got a few comedies in there. You've got the Bourne series. You've got what's the Western he was in? That was the remake. I'm blanking. I'm ashamed of myself.
Anyway, I got the Oceans. I got Oceans 13.
The Martian. That's fun.
I got the Martian. I got Jason Bourne. Sorry, we already talked about that one.
You three times.
I got Thor Ragnarok.
The Departed. Yeah, yeah. His guest appearance on Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Which was hilarious. Yeah, that's a pretty good pick. Mine is easy. It's always the same on this question. It's Tom Cruise.
And did you know that in 1989, hold on, we'll get to Tom Cruise in a minute. In 1989, Matt Damon was a baseball fan at Fenway Park in the movie Field of Dreams. So I got Field of Dreams.
Well, how about this? He's also the bad guy in School Ties. Do you remember School Ties?
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser before he was a joke. That is a good movie, by the way.
School Ties. All right, so who are you taking? Did you say Tom? Who'd you say? Tom Hanks? Cruise. Oh, no, Tom Cruise.
Tom
not
Hanks
bad.
Actually would probably be my choice, but I'm going to pick somebody different than what Andre and because Hanks would probably be my choice. I love Tom Hanks movies, right?
Very wide range of movies.
Very wide range. But Tom Cruise would be fun.
Two Top Guns and all the Mission Impossible movies.
All the Mission Impossible movies, and I love action. He's got a couple of interesting dramas, including Rain Man.
Good movie, Born on the 4th of July.
Born on the 4th of July.
Risky Business.
I'm not a big Risky Business fan.
Risky Business.
That's, you know, like any of these people there's that you pick, there's a couple of movies that
Far and Away, A Few Good Men. I want the truth. Oh, man.
You can't handle the truth. Yeah, it's good, but all four of these choices.
Show me the money. He's got some great.
But let's flip it. Guy. If you were picking a woman actor, you had to pick a woman. Who you're picking?
Scarlett Johansson, because I want all the Marvel movies.
All the Marvel movies. That's not bad. You get a few like rom coms.
I mean, I picked
that
too. Matt Damon for Bourne Identity is what I'm doing there, right?
Yeah. Which, by the way, I watched Bourne Identity with my oldest daughter while my wife was out of town with a couple of the other kids last month. It was awesome to watch it again with somebody that hadn't watched it. You know what I mean? Like, she's like on the edge of her seat. Like, what's going to happen? And she doesn't know, right? It was so fun to watch it with her. We need to watch the other, because all three of the original, and I'm fine with Jason Bourne too. It wasn't as good as the first three, but. And heck, even though he's not in it, you wouldn't get this movie. I like the, what's the one with Jeremy Renner? The Bourne Legacy.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I wouldn't get that one on the list. But if I,
what about Meryl Streep? You get comedies, dramas. Not as much action, which I'm more of an action guy.
This one is going to surprise you, and actually, I thought of her. Because my four-year-old randomly asking Alexa to do things the other night.
Okay.
And asked for a song title that he made up. And what popped up was some children's music album that this actress I'm about to mention was like a host voice on this album. But I'm going to go with Judi Dench.
Oh, that's such a good choice.
She's been in another like giant range of films. Yeah. I get action movies. I get some drama in there. She's good in everything she's done.
Yes, that is a good one. She's in some of the Bond movies. You get some Bond movies.
I mean, you go back here. You got everything. You got a little bit of everything in her list because she's also been doing this at a high level for a long time, right?
Yeah.
So
you get the new Cats movie, which everyone seems to really love.
Yeah, it seems to be like super popular. Okay.
Well, but, not everybody can. Not every movie can win. You know?
No, they're not all winners. They're not all winners. All
right, so. Matt, let's move on from that to BYU stuff. We're only 20 minutes into the show. This is a BYU sports podcast. But, hey, If you want all BYU topics, you people have to send in more tweet bag questions and don't just leave it to Sweeney and Hutchins.
Yeah, but they delivered tonight. I'm going to have to watch a Judi Dench movie.
Well, before we move on, Gary Payne responded at Fast Break GP on Twitter. He says, can I include music and the small screen? If so, Will Smith, which is also an inspired choice.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But you know what else is good? The best exotic Marigold Hotel.
Judi Dench. It's an inspired choice. Your it's choice brilliant. Is better than my choice. I will fully admit that Judi Dench is a better choice than Meryl Streep. Though Meryl Streep's a bad choice, you get a lot of cool movies.
No. You'll be all right. You'll be all right there.
Yeah, you'll be entertained. And the thing is, you want volume, right? You're stuck on a desert island, so you want to pick somebody.
You need volume and range, which is not what I got with. Well, no, I got a little bit of that with Matt Damon, but Tom Hanks, it would.
Oh yeah,
crush
Tom
that.
Hanks. I mean, that's what
you
I'm
got.
Saying.
Saving Private Ryan, and you've got Mail,
and you've got Big.
And you've got what's the movie about the when they're in the burbs and the neighbors are all creepy?
Suburbia.
It's called The Burbs.
I think it's
the
called
Burbs,
The Burbs.
Maybe?
Yeah. And The Money Pit.
Oh, yeah, he's done a little bit
Joe
of
Joe versus the Volcano. I mean, this is, again, I'm doing Troy Aikman. I'm basically reading his IMDb, which I'm not actually looking at. Anyway, okay. Sweeney had this question as well. It's 2020 tomorrow. He sent this, obviously, before we recorded last time, so I don't know what happened. In 20 years, is BYU a better place football-wise, players, coaches, conference, etc.? Worse, the same, hashtag tweetback. In 20 years, 2040, Matt, better, worse, the same.
The same.
I'm
ducking under my desk now.
I'm going to qualify this a little bit, okay? 20 years from now, the college football landscape might be, I don't want to say unrecognizable from today, but let's go back 20 years, right? There was no playoff 20 years ago. There was the, what do you call it? Why can't I remember the name of that stupid thing?
The BCS?
Yeah, the BCS. Yeah, yeah.
The Bowl Championship Series? Yeah, the Bowl yeah. Not a Championship Series?
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be a bunch of things that have changed. I believe there will be several teams. I don't think you have a Power Five conferences anymore by that point.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And Ryan Teeples and others. Am I doing his name right?
Ryan Teeples? Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
And others have pointed out, and he was on our show, gosh, I don't know, a year ago, talking about this, that there is no... A bunch of these teams right now, there's a bubble, and they're not going to be able to support football programs in 10 years. Wyoming, Colorado State. Obviously the Power Five schools will be fine as long as the TV contracts are there, right? But there's a bubble coming, and it's going to burst. And I don't know if you have 120 teams at the FBS or whatever you want to call it.
No, level. Not whatever the top level is won't be that big anymore.
I mean, don't you think for a bunch of these schools, the best thing actually for their university, not their football program per se, but for the university would be to go to the FCS?
It'd be to go to whatever a structure is that focuses most of your season on regional play and regional rivalries. For most schools, that's probably the right way to handle
anyway,
it.
Anyway, that being said, to directly answer Justin's question, I'm gonna say the same, but the landscape will be so different that will actually be a little worse. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, and I think I'm looking at it in a similar way. I think the landscape's going to be different, but our position will be relatively the same.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, Matt, so let's talk some basketball. Promised that last week. Promised that in the tweets, and then nobody sends in any basketball questions. Okay, so Jeff Johnson has been talking about our KenPom rating every week, right? And talking about how basically if you're in the top 40, with few exceptions, you end up making the tournament. And right now I think we're 33rd. Big game against St. Mary's coming up on Saturday night. Is it Saturday night? Thursday night. It's Thursday night, right? It's
Thursday night, isn't it?
In my head, I was thinking Saturday night, but it's Thursday night at 10 p.m. So first question, are you staying up to watch the game?
I don't think I have a choice.
I don't think you do. Are the basketball team's good again? And by the way,
the basketball team's fun.
The computers like us better than St. Mary's today. And keep in mind, that's with 9 games at the beginning of the season where we weren't as good without Yoeli Childs. If you look over these 7 games since Childs and Beck, which includes the terrible loss to Utah, which is going to be the worst, I think the worst loss on their schedule, potentially. And man, wouldn't you have liked to play that game with Childs in his 9th game instead of his first?
Oh, man.
Just stupid. NCAA is ridiculous. So you look at that and you look at how good this team is. And man, I did not see this coming. I thought replicating last year was your best scenario because of all the roster turnover. I just thought, you know, there's not enough talent. But, I mean, you look at the stats, this is a good team. A good offensive team, a good defensive team, and right now, on paper, looks like the second best team in the conference.
Yeah. This is not where I don't think anybody thought that's where we were. So was anybody predicting this in November?
No, I mean, we were picked third in the conference by the press, right? I read a few articles early on saying, well, you know, maybe San Francisco's better than BYU, which wasn't completely a dig at BYU, right? San Francisco's been a better program the last year and a half than they had been previous to that. But it was a little bit of a dig, right? And also, you know, it's a new coach, and you don't know. Yeah, I mean, he had good luck at UVU and put together a good program, but that's not the same, right? And just the lack of big men, which is, we'll get to that in a second. We'll talk about strengths and weaknesses, but I want to talk about a few players. Right now, according to Basketball Reference, the 3 best players on the team per PER rating is Childs, Toulson, and Cole Beasley. Now, to be fair, Lee is a reserve role. But right now, let's talk about Childs for a second, then we'll get to Toulson. Childs, if he continues his pace today, this would be the best season, statistically, by advanced statistics, that a Cougar has had since Jimmer. Significantly better than Mika. One of the reasons BYU is a top 40 team right now is the fact that Yoeli Childs is the best player in the West Coast Conference right now.
Right.
I mean, we'll get to other players, but Yoeli has like taken a step up beyond where he was before. Everything is better than where he was before, right? His points, people will like his points are, well, his efficiency is way higher. He's scoring basically the same amount of points, taking one less shot a game than he did a year ago. He's better rebounding, assists. He's actually, you know, when you look at the turnovers and that kind of stuff, it's actually a little better. And then blocks about the same. But he is a better player. And let's talk about his 61% field goal percentage. He is taking just good shots. And even his 3-pointers are falling, man.
I mean, he's throwing down a double double every night.
Double double every night, and he's doing it more efficiently than he's done it in the past because of that. Now, is that sustainable? A 61% field goal percentage? I think so.
Probably not. Really?
Yeah. Guys,
I think that's gotta come down a little bit.
Nah. Not if they keep running the offense the way they are. I mean, he won't. If you take our top 10 teams that we play against, he won't shoot 61%. But keep in mind, he's got a bunch of games in the WCC against really crappy teams who can't defend him, who don't have a single guy that can defend him. Where they're either going to have to hack him.
He's gonna score some points. He's going to have some good looks.
Yeah. The one weakness he's showing versus last year is the free throws. So if you look at his 4 years, 59%, 64%, 71%, 59%. As they used to say in Sesame Street, one of these does not look like the other.
Not like the other.
So I think you have to assume at this point he's a 60% free throw shooter, even with last year's seeming turnaround. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think he's a 60% free throw shooter. Outside of that, right now he's shooting a higher percentage from the floor than he is from the free throw line. It's Shaqian, really.
It's a little weird, right?
Yeah, it is a little weird, but it's good. So any other thoughts on him?
No more thoughts on him, but are we going to talk a little bit about what we think is going to happen Thursday night?
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a second.
All right. I'm just excited about it.
As you should be. If you look at Toulson, he is playing at a higher level than he played at UVU. His advanced stats are a little better.
And he was doing, which is crazy, right? Because I think at least I thought about the get for Toulson was, hey, this is a guy that went away, developed, and is now going to bring this developed game back. And in my mind, I mean, this guy was kind of at his peak, right?
But he's
still peaking, I think. I don't think he's done yet. I don't think we've seen the best basketball out of Toulson that we're going to see.
I think he's done a great job, and I really, defensively, I think he's better than I thought he'd be. You know, he's not an elite defender, but I think he's been – actually, everybody's been better, and I've got to give that to the coaching, right? Hawes has been a better defender than he had been. I look at this and I go, this at least in a lot of ways has – there's something here that has to do with coaching, right? This is not by accident.
I tell you, one of the things that has just driven me crazy some years about these teams is our difficulty off of the glass, and that's something that Toulson has brought in spades, right? 70 defensive rebounds. That is taking away second look shots from these other teams, and that is something that in the last few years we've missed. And I feel like we've lost games based on problems with defensive rebounds and teams getting second looks at the basket.
Yeah, we're still not the best rebounding team, but it's better for sure.
Oh yeah, I think he makes a big difference. I agree, we're still not the best, but I feel like you take Toulson away, and we may be abysmal.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, TJ Haas, like we said last time we talked about this, TJ Haas is who TJ Haas is, right? He was better last year statistically when he was the man. And now that he's not, he is a good role player on this team. And I'm okay with that. I think that's okay. You know, he's not maybe as good as he was last year statistically, but better than his freshman and sophomore year. And I think that's okay. I think the nice thing about sticking around for 4 years is eventually people can start saying it, just accepting you are for what you bring. I know he frustrates the heck out of some fans. Sometimes his turnovers bother me quite a bit as well. And he still has a very high turnover percentage. Compared to other guys that handle the ball like he does. But, this is a fun team to watch. I enjoy watching them, too.
Yeah, it's fun basketball. And obviously, everybody loves it when your team's winning, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's obviously more fun to watch when your team's winning. But
thanks, Troy.
Yeah, but it's just fun basketball.
Yeah, it's fun basketball. So let's talk about St. Mary's. So they are also a good team. So I wasn't knocking them when I said they were the third best team earlier, just because we're better than expected. This is not going to be an easy game. They are quite good. Ford is having a heck of a year. He's probably, if Childs were to falter or get injured, Ford's probably your, it could be your most valuable player, player of the year in the WCC, having a heck of a year. And I don't know that, I mean, as our defense has been very good, I don't know that we can stop Ford. I mean, our perimeter defenders are better than they were a year ago. I don't think any of them are elite perimeter defenders, though, right? And I think the key to Thursday's night's game is just not letting him go off. What do you think?
Oh, I absolutely agree. But I think the other thing too is that I think they give up a lot of points.
They give up a lot of points.
Defensively, they are not very solid. And if you look at, you know, I've looked at, you know, the, and I know that the transitive properties of common opponents isn't perfect, right?
Sure.
But they gave up 63 points to Nevada, a team to 10 days earlier to whom we gave up 42 points, right? So I don't think this game's honestly, like, I don't think this game's gonna be as close as you do. I think BYU wins this game by double digits in regulation. I think we can take enough opportunities away from Ford. I don't think we're gonna turn the ball over very much.
Well, here's the thing. From an offensive standpoint, they may be a slightly better offensive team than us. Right? And that may not be true because the stats that I'm referencing here of offensive rating on Basketball Reference includes, of course, the games before Childs joined the roster, right? So,
right.
So, but let's say for a second they're a slightly better offensive team, even if that's maybe not actually true. We're a better defensive team. So I think it's going to be a tight, close game, but I think BYU wins. And I think Childs has a big game, but I really think it ends up being, you know, they're going to double down on Childs. They're going to do different things. I think he ends up with a double-double, but more like a, you know, 14-10 kind of game where he's got like five or six assists because he hits guys for open threes. And I think that's okay. And I think that actually, if they can hit the three-pointers, which we've had relatively good success, a few games where it just didn't work, like against Utah. But if the threes are falling, I think our defense will be good enough to win. And to be honest, I think we could beat St. Mary's twice. Because if we beat them there, then I think we beat them in the Marriott Center too. So you, I think if you win those two games in season against St. Mary's and only drop like one other dumb conference game, maybe, you know, split with San Francisco or something like that, and then you lose two to Gonzaga, I think you're in.
I agree, and I think that's a very realistic scenario. Is I think this team is good. I do believe they'll probably drop one of these other games, but they can absolutely beat St. Mary's twice.
So let's talk about their weaknesses, not just for this game, but in general. They're not the best rebounding team, as you pointed out, better than maybe they have been in the past. And I think defensive rebounding, they're better. They're the worst offensive rebounding team statistically in the Mountain West, in the West.
Nobody's following shots. Nobody is following shots.
So that's just not something we're doing. And I think it worries me to a certain extent. The other piece is our pace is, you know, not terrible. It's a little slower. It's not, you know, that super fast pace. I think we could be prone to, as the season goes on, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. The one thing we really don't know is how these guys are going to do during the middle of a conference season, right? And that's where some of the Rose teams fell really flat the last few years. Not historically before that, but the last few years, just laying an egg against, you know, Santa Clara, right? And we really don't know that as well as they've played so far, are they going to drop a couple of those games like that? Because if they do, and you split with St. Mary's and split with San Francisco and lose two to Gonzaga, you're going to be at the mercy of the bubble, right? And that's the thing they have to avoid, is just give the committee no doubt that you belong there. You're a top 40 team, period. And you're the second best team in the conference, and there you go. And heck, if they split with Gonzaga, even the better. But Gonzaga's pretty good.
Yeah, that's going to be a taller order this year to beat Gonzaga.
Gonzaga's pretty good, though the computers don't like Gonzaga as much as, you know, as maybe they are hyped. You know, computers and others have them like, you know, 6, 7, 8 instead of the best team in the country, you know.
Yeah, see, but the tough part is you play Gonzaga the first time on the road, which is hard, and then you don't see him again until basically the end of the season. And at that point, like, my guess is Gonzaga's really firing on all cylinders at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
So even having him in Provo in February, I mean, that's tough.
I think we lose to him twice. It'd be great if we could upset him in either of those games. It would be a fun deal. But I think we can beat St. Mary's twice. I'm actually more worried about San Francisco. Not because San Francisco is a better team than St. Mary's, though they're a pretty good team, but they're not as good as St. Mary's. I just think you get up for St. Mary's because they're St. Mary's, right? And everybody on that roster is not going to take St. Mary's lightly, right? I mean, Toulson was around here before, and obviously, you know, Matthew Dellavedova has made St. Mary's the enemy of everybody in the West Coast Conference, right? So, you know, there's just, you know, they're the Gales. Actually, I don't hate them. I don't hate
Matthew
Dellavedova
of Voldemort.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And his mouthpiece. So anyway, all right. So let's continue, and it's time for game time, Matt.
All right. Let's play some games.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this game. Then we're going to talk about Rise of Skywalker. We will give and say, hey, you don't want any spoilers, shut it off now. But we had said we'll come back. I think we've given, I mean, the movie's made like $2 billion. I'm exaggerating. But it's made a lot of money. It's been weeks. At this point, I think we can talk about it. But let's do this game from Sweeney. Guaranteed. Here's the thing. You can bring back for next season for a run 4 players of for BYU football. Bring back 4 players for next year from the past. Any 4 players. Well, let's say 2 offense and 2 defense, I believe is what it said. Okay? Bring back 4 players. Sweeney is asking who? Who would you bring back? And should we do his first, or do you want to do ours first?
Let's do his first.
So he says, I'd go with Taysom Hill, Luke Staley, Kyle Van Noy, and Ziggy Ansah. And he said, can you imagine Taysom and Luke run pass options and the Kyle Van Noy and Ziggy Rush? By the way, we've seen the Kyle Van Noy and Ziggy Rush before.
Yes, we have. We know that that's effective.
That is effective. So Matt, who are you going with?
So you know I have to take somebody off of the 96 team, right?
What is wrong with you? Can you talk about
something else? But you know I have to. So here's what I really think. All right, so let's just talk about defense for just a second.
Okay, let's talk defense.
Ziggy Ansah is not a bad choice, right? Because I have to make my picks based on the personnel that I see coming back for this team next year.
And right? You need somebody that can create a pass rush on their own.
I need somebody who can create a pass rush by themselves. So Ziggy Ansah is probably the right choice there for me, but I don't want a linebacker.
I'm
need
sorry.
A defensive back.
I'm sorry. Did you just utter the words, I don't need a linebacker? Like, you're Mr. Linebacker. You played linebacker. You love linebackers.
I do. I absolutely love linebackers. And you know how much I want to say Shea Mearbrook now.
Shea Mearbrook,
but it's just
stop.
Not the right choice. Right?
Shea Mearbrook isn't. Is he one of the top 5 linebackers
not.
Of all
no,
time?
No, he's not. No, he's not. Okay. He's still my favorite, but he's not. I know. I understand he's not like statistically the best or whatever, but he was just a lot of fun to watch play.
Okay. All right. So you want a safety.
I have to get somebody out of the defensive backfield, and I think I'm taking Tim McTyer off of the 96 team.
Because you have to. You're contractually obligated.
The guy had 8 interceptions.
No. McTyer's a great choice. I mean, McTyer's
97 tackles.
McTyer's awesome.
Right. And so he recovered a fumble. I mean, I think McTyer is what you do. So I think you go with a pass rush and then you take a defensive back. Okay. Maybe it's not McTyer, but it is. Now on offense.
That's awesome. Maybe it's not.
Now offense, that offense is a tough one for me. I mean, you throw out, I mean, he puts out the possibility of a Taysom Luke Staley backfield. I mean, a healthy Luke Staley. You know, given what we went through this year, I think you have to take a healthy Luke Staley, right? And I struggle to argue with Taysom. Now you can go back and, but I think it's a quarterback.
Stop! You don't.
I think it's
do
a quarterback,
Taysom.
But is it Taysom?
That's
what I'm saying. I don't know that it's Taysom.
You take Young or McMahon.
I think you
take Young or McMahon. Taysom, even in his healthy season, he did not have a season like either of those two guys had. You take Young's senior season or McMahon junior or senior season, and you've got a quarterback, you know, who's winning a Heisman potentially, right? I think you've got to take.
But so if you go with McMahon, which I agree with, right? But if you go with McMahon, Staley is a great option, but I think you want a receiver.
I think you got Bushman.
You got Bushman. You want a deep threat. You want a deep threat.
Well, we haven't had a lot of deep threats in BYU history, so I assume I know who you're going to say.
Who do you think I'm going to say?
Cully.
Because I'm not sure who I'm going to say.
It's Cully. How many deep threats has BYU had?
We've had a couple of very, very fast guys.
Who?
Very fast guys.
Who?
But yeah, we don't have anybody like Cully.
Who is super fast? We haven't had a lot of fast wide receivers. Like, not at a, like, fast nationally. I mean, Taysom Hill was the fastest guy on the team every year he played. Right?
All right. So it's Cully.
So what about this? What if you have Taysom Hill, you put Taysom Hill on that team and Jim McMahon? And Taysom Hill plays everywhere. He plays running back. He plays H-back. He plays wide receiver. I'm fine with putting Taysom Hill in. I just wouldn't put him in as quarterback. I mean, he was a very good college quarterback, but we have better in history. Cully would be pretty awesome, though.
Cully was a ton of fun to watch, obviously.
And I'd be tempted to take one of our great tight ends if you didn't already have Bushman, like you said, based on what you have on the roster. I think you'd be better off taking a wide receiver than you would be taking a... you know, if you're taking a wide receiver, I mean, Hoffman, Cully, Bellini, I mean, I think... Those are probably a
Kaufman, when I talk about speedy guys, Hoffman's probably the guy that comes to mind, right?
Yeah, but he wasn't. I mean, Hoffman was fast, but Hoffman's game was like well-rounded, right? He wasn't the fastest burner. He wasn't the strongest. He wasn't the biggest, but he was all of those things, right? He was strong. He wasn't small, and he was fast, right? So Hoffman, I think, would be a really good choice. If we go back to the defensive side of the ball, I think Vannoy, you can't go wrong with the Vannoy choice, right? You decided because of who else we had. But remember, Vannoy had more careers, is one of the top career sacks guys in BYU history, right? He was quite a pass rusher himself. So I think you couldn't go wrong with Vannoy. If you're going to stick with linebackers, then the freight train is probably another good choice.
Yeah, I think he makes the list.
So
people to think about here, and I want to back up. I think I said that McTyer had 90 something tackles. He had 55 tackles his senior year. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, that was terrible on your part. You're the worst. So anyway, I just think you've got to defensive back. McTyre's a great choice. But I think I'm going, I think I'm okay with the defensive backfield next year. I think they'll be not great, but I would put two guys in the front seven. I think that is our biggest weakness on the defense.
I feel like towards the end of the year, I felt pretty good about the way we were playing at linebacker. But pass rush, I think you can't argue that we have to do something about the pass rush.
What if you did Rob Morris and Vinoy?
I don't think that solves your pass rush problem.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Both of those guys could rush the passer.
So one of them frees up space for the other, is essentially right.
Yeah.
But you have to send them both at the same time to get pressure on the quarterback.
No. That's all you have to do is you have to threaten
on the line of scrimmage.
You have to threaten to do it, right? Watching what the Titans did when the Dolphins did it to the week before against the Patriots, and then what in the college football playoff what Clemson was doing, right? Is you just need to bring those guys up on the line who are athletic enough where they can still drop back into pass coverage, right? That and Morris and Vinoy could both do that. You could bring them right up and have them both on the line of scrimmage where it's like, crap, I don't know where the blitz is coming from. How do you defend that? Because if you send the extra blocker to the left, then you just bring the blitz from the right. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I would still have them both go on sub blitzes too. Send them both. But, you know, I can't go wrong with Ziggy. I think that's a good choice. I mean, he's one of the best pass rushers. Career-wise, he didn't have, you know, the career numbers that some of these other guys did, like a Jorgensen or somebody but like that, right? But if you're just talking about one season, then it's hard to say no to Ziggy Ansah.
Yeah, I think it is.
And you could say Sharon Merrick if you wanted.
Nah, come on, that's not the right choice.
I'm just trying to, you know, say, you know how much you like Shane Merber.
I do.
But, you know, you could. What about a Jan Jorgensen? He was quite a pass rusher.
Jan Jorgensen wouldn't be a terrible decision.
Yes, I'd pick Ziggy over him.
What about like a Jason Buck?
Jason Buck would be great. Jason Buck would be great. And we didn't talk about this. How about Tonga coming back?
Yeah, it's crazy, huh? That's awesome.
It's great for us. I think it means his season, senior season, he didn't do enough to put him where he wanted to be in the draft.
Well, he was all alone out there.
Yeah, I also think I don't know if it's injury related. I just think he kind of came in and out sometimes. There were games where, yeah, he's getting double teamed, but man, that USC game, and there was a couple other games where he was dominant. And then it just seemed like he disappeared. And sometimes that's just how it happens with D linemen, right?
Yeah.
Especially on the interior, it's hard sometimes to see their impact because they don't typically have the gaudy stats, right? And not every game are you going to be matched up against the center like against USC that just can't handle you, right? They're more than likely going to give you help if that starts happening. But for whatever reason, USC just decided to leave that poor kid out on an island. And roller skates. He was wearing roller skates, I believe. I don't know. Some good choices there. What about Ty Detmer?
If I have a choice between Detmer and McMahon, I'm taking McMahon.
Yeah, I am too. Then why are we the zero to Detmer scale? I've argued against this for a year. You just gave me my win right there.
Oh, man.
But shouldn't it be the zero to McMahon scale then?
It probably should. Fine.
Yeah. And you said running backs. Who besides, I mean, what about Jamal? If you're going to add a running back.
I think, well,
are you going Luke Staley?
I think that's a tough call. I mean, you get a healthy Luke Staley.
He was amazing that year.
He was pretty good.
He got hurt.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a healthy Luke Staley. I think you have to go with a healthy Luke Staley.
That's probably good. That's probably good. All right. Well, that's it for this portion. If you guys are interested, we'll be back next week. We're going to talk Rise of Skywalker. So those of you that are interested in our thoughts on that, stay tuned. But we'll be back next week. More hoops. I'm sure we'll talk football and hopefully more tweet bag questions from you, Jokers.
It was yeah. Mike.
Sweeney brought it.
Jokers?
Sweeney brought it. Where's everybody else? Where are you peeps? I mean, Payne, responding to somebody else's tweetback question, that's not a tweetback question, Gary.
It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing, man.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like a fast break to me. I don't know. I'm just trying to call people out because, you know, whatever. All right. So, Matt, spoilers abound here in a second for Rise of Skywalker. So turn it off.
All right.
Turn it
off.
Here
we go.
All right. Here we go. So I'm going to give you a little – we're going to play another game, okay? And I'm going to give you elements of the movie, and you're going to have to tell me win, lose, or draw. So do you think this was the right choice for the movie and you loved it? You thought lose, bad choice, this one just didn't work, or it's fine, okay? So win, okay. Lose, or draw. And not the version where you have to draw stuff.
Yeah, because this is a
podcast.
Right. This isn't a visual medium.
All right. Palpatine returns. Win, lose, or draw?
Win.
I'll say draw. Draw. I'm fine with it, but I think you could have done this without Palpatine. Win, lose, or draw, Rey's parentage is... being Palpatine's granddaughter.
Draw.
I'm going to say win. I like, and I wish in some ways there was more in The Last Jedi, but I kind of like the fact that, you know, it'd be really cool if it turns out, you know, Luke didn't want to train her because of who she was. You know? But they didn't really seem to go that in The Last Jedi. Win, lose, or draw... the kiss at the end.
Lose.
It didn't need to be romantic, did it?
No, it didn't need to be romantic.
I know she saw him without his shirt off in the last movie, but I didn't think that needed to be romantic. But I'm not really that broken up about it. Okay, win, lose, or draw, they have to blow up a bunch of ships that have planet killers on them again.
That's a lose for me.
That's a lose. I mean, the battle scene was fine, but like, can we stop with the planet killers? There has to be something else.
Well, I feel like they missed a real good opportunity with the way that they brought Palpatine back, and you know the history of the Sith trying to master the power of bringing someone back from the death, and that I feel like. There is a whole world of opportunity to the story there, and they really just scratched the surface and they didn't play that up, and I don't know that it was, maybe it was obvious enough in the closing minutes of the movie about how that tied into everything, but like that's why Palpatine was back,
right?
That's what all of this was about, was trying to master that skill, and then finally somebody did, right? And so I feel like there was a lot more they could have done there, and maybe that could have been like the weapon everybody was scared of.
Yeah,
but like you said, we've already seen the planet killer thing.
We've got to destroy Palpatine's ability to bring himself back, right? Instead of, oh no, it's a bunch of ships. And how did they build all those ships in a place where you can't even get anybody in or out of it? It was weird.
Well, and this whole thing about like, and then there's like did Palpatine, he's doing it with science, right? With air quotes around it, because he's got the, you know, people in the jars, and he's
force,
got all this machinery hooked up
science.
To him. Is it science or force? But is it the science or is it the force? Now, Palpatine couldn't figure out how to do it with the force, so he was using science. But
right.
Kylo Ren figured out how to do it with the force.
pretty interesting.
Right? Like, when... and it's like, so you have everybody else fighting to stop the science that Palpatine's put together, and then you've got Kylo Ren and Rey fighting to harness that power inside of the Force.
Okay, fair enough.
I feel like there's a lot that they could have done there, and they just kind of whiffed at it.
Win, lose, or draw Princess Leia's role in the movie?
I liked it. I'm going to go with win.
I'm going to go with win. It was a little clunky because they have to use these random lines from The Force Awakens, right? So I get that it's a little clunky, but I thought it was good. And the fact that I know some people are like, well, how did she become a Jedi? I mean, wasn't that clear in the? I mean, I know people, a lot of people
from the very beginning that she was that. Yeah, she had the connection with the Force, and her was strong from the very early on.
Well, in The Last Jedi, she saves herself in space, and I know a lot of people hated that one, but I didn't have any problem with that. I don't know why people have a problem with that, but they don't have a problem with the fact that, you know. I don't know that Yoda could do all the things that Yoda could do when he was like 900 years old, right? I mean, he fought Palpatine to a standstill, and Palpatine's prime. Anyway, if you're powerful, you're powerful. Win, lose, or draw. Poe's character and what he went through becoming the leader.
Win. I like that.
Win. I liked it too. I like that. Win, lose, or draw. General Hux is the traitor, and then they shoot him.
How did you like win.
That? I like that too. I've read where some people like, well, it's kind of anticlimactic when they just shoot him. I think it's great. Like he's not a good person, right? Like he wasn't helping the resistance because he liked them.
And I think it highlighted the peril he was in with the decision he had made.
Yeah. And it was the terrible
decision. Like he was summarily executed.
Shoot me, and then they'll know that you resisted. Like, I'm like, this is why you weren't that good of a general. Your ideas are terrible. Win, lose, or draw, Rey builds her own lightsaber, and you get to see it at the end.
Win.
By the way, win. Did you notice that it's basically her staff? From the first movie.
Yeah, I noticed it right away.
Yeah, me too. Andre, he tweeted out.
Tweeted that the other day. I was like, dude, were you not watching the movie?
My daughter, we were sitting there. I was sitting there with two of my daughters there on opening night, and the older one turned to me. She's like, her staff. You know, like, we're both like, yeah. Cool. Win, lose, or draw, Lando coming back.
Draw.
I'm gonna say draw. He was fine. Whatever.
It becomes a win if they do actually spin off what they hinted at, and make some other movies that are kind of like subplots of things that went on there. Then I think that becomes a win.
Could become a win. All right. Well, Matt. Overall, what did you think? Did you like it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. You know, I walked in there with no expectations around how I wanted them to tie any of this stuff up and how I, or what direction I wanted them to go in. I do believe that they did make some major decisions about the plot after they had finished the other two movies in this trilogy. But that's fine. It worked out. It was very entertaining. I thought that they did a good job of paying homage to the eight movies that had come before. While also kind of doing their own thing. I thought they struck a good balance there. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it better than The Last Jedi, though I didn't dislike The Last Jedi. Sorry, Andre. I think for me, it just highlights that Abrams isn't a great storyteller, right? If you ask me today, would I rather watch some of the MCU movies or these three movies, like if I had to take three MCU movies or these three to a desert island, it would be easy to me. I would take three MCU movies. I think are better at telling stories, right? I love Rey's character. I love Kylo Ren. I like the redemption arc, even though I wasn't sure they were going to do that, right? I thought you could go either way and still make it interesting. But I just think some of it was not, as we pointed out in our kind of lose thing, I kind of think the stakes always being the same diminishes what the people are trying to do. And I did not like all of a sudden the Emperor can shoot Force Lightning and take down every ship. I was just kind of like,
it was a little much. I think they should have fought those two battles just in parallel.
Yeah. Just like Return of the Jedi, right? If you're trying to pay homage to that, just keep that same. You don't have to do it the same, but the battles are separate. Like you said, you got technology and you got the Force, and just keep those two things the same. I mean, on their own path. But anyway, I liked it. It was good. I haven't seen it a second time, and I would like to while it's still in theaters, but we'll see if that happens. You know, life. There's other stuff.
A lot going on.
I got five kids.
I mean, world out there.
I think on this Saturday, there's a Saturday coming up where we're going to have basketball for one daughter, a swim meet. No, the swim meet's not that weekend. Her science Olympiad is that weekend. Art class and gymnastics. And I believe they're all happening around the same time.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
So, that, for example, that's not the day I will go see Rise of Skywalker again. Oh, I didn't say the best.
Throw it in there.
Win, lose, or draw, Rey is the one they're talking about with Skywalker.
Win.
I say draw. I was fine with it, but it wasn't like, oh, when she said that last line. I get why she's a Skywalker now. They pretty much adopted her, and she's definitely not going to tell anybody. Who are you? Rey? Rey Palpatine. Right? Like, no, you're not going to say that. If you had to take one to the desert island, are you taking this new trilogy or The Mandalorian?
If I say the new trilogy, do I also get Rogue One?
No. That's not even like sequentially close. It's between three.
I'm taking the trilogy.
I'm taking the trilogy, man. I love The Mandalorian.
Mandalorian is pretty sweet.
I love it.
Not going to lie to you.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. As I said, we'll be back next week, and we'll catch you next time.
Go Cougars. This is the way.
This is the way. Matt, has anyone ever seen your face?
No.
Unfortunately, the answer is many people.
I started wearing the helmet to work. It's not going over real well.